On the Big Breakfast Catch-Up with us, Claire, Matt and Kimber, we ask if you're finding it tough to keep up with the kids' homework.
You can find out what's happening with the new Qantas terminal at Perth Airport.
And could keeping your socks on in bed be the key to better bedroom antics?
Ooh.
Put a sock on it.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Now, Matt, you're saying you left your homework on the fridge and Kimber, your dog ate it.
The dog ate it.
Can't help it. I'm not good with homework. And we think that everyone's struggling a little bit.
Well, yeah, it looks like the scores of Australian students are going down compared to the rest of the world. And parents are struggling. They're time poor. And how do you help your kids? You know, it's hard.
Suzanne's in Woodvale. Suzanne, how are you struggling to keep up with your kids' homework?
Yeah, good morning, guys. So I've had two boys now. One's in year five. Approached the teacher there and asked them to help with the maths homework. Not a problem. She was able to go through it, show me on the whiteboard how to do it.
Oh, wow.
Explainable. Fantastic, yes. That was long division, like you were saying before. You
know, yeah.
Yeah. They don't do it the normal way that we all learnt back in, you know, I graduated in 91, so did it up to year 10 maths, and then my teacher said I wasn't going to be able to do it in year 11 and 12, so haven't had the basis.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to do year 5 maths and year 8 maths, totally struggling again with the year 8 maths. Approached the teachers, you know, by email, can you help? Can you explain it a bit better?
Yeah.
Nothing comes back to you. And so now I sort of went through an emotional roller coaster trying to help with my son's year 8 maths last week and had a bit of a breakdown over it. Needed to get a family member out to help me try and explain it to him.
Very stressful.
Yeah. And you imagine, Suzanne, if you're that stressed out, imagine how our young people feel.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you sort of want to get the teachers to get on board and help them a bit better, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
Mm. Busy, you know, teachers too.
Busy teachers, yeah.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Yeah. Mm.
No
Thanks
problem.
Very much.
Yeah. Good luck.
I feel for you, Suze.
Yeah, let's go to Ocean Reef. And Rebecca, how are you struggling with your kids' homework?
Oh, look, same thing as the last caller, really, guys. Year 8 math, again, it is just doing our head in.
Yes. You know, yep. It did at the time too.
Yeah, well, that's it. And, you know, the 13-year-old, he just throws himself around on the floor like a frog in a blender just trying to get him to do the homework. It's just
frog in a blender.
Well, Rebecca, I suppose the difficult thing is, as we joked about it, saying I've never used my Year 8 math since Year 8, but we're trying to encourage our kids to learn it, even though we know we'll probably never use it.
Well, that's it. And this algebra stuff that they're learning now, I mean, have you learned about X? Have you used X and Y, you know, in the past 20 years?
No, I left those axes back in you know, Cannington High.
Only if it's chromosomes and a couple short. It can be tough too, Rebecca, can't it? You know, you look at what we did and what they're doing and sometimes you can be baffled and you don't want the kids to, you know that mum or dad can't help.
No, well, that's it. You know, we've gotten to the point now we've had to contact a tutor just to get her to come and, come and help him because both myself and my partner are just stumped.
Yeah, it's not easy. Well, that is the new mission. Good luck to you, Rebecca.
Yeah, thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, should we go to Forestfield?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jenny's there. Hey, Jenny, how are you struggling with keeping up with the kids' homework?
We're struggling in two parts. One is my kid's really smart and he's good at some things, he's not so good at other things. But he's not telling us he's got homework, so that's kind of a challenge.
Ah, yes.
Let's just assume he always does, Jenny.
Yeah, so we literally break it down week by week. What assessments has he got to do? When does he have to do it? Second to that, I'd like to put it out there that it's really important for kids to not feel so pressured with exams. Exams are only part of their assessment. They're not the complete assessment. And I'm so proud to be Australian because Australians have such an amazing way of being so innovative and we're able to adapt to so many situations. So that's so beautiful about being Australian. My husband's a physicist, so as far as math homework is concerned, we're good.
He's got that covered.
He's pretty much nailed it.
Hardly anyone has a physicist lying around at home, Jenny. You've done well.
Darling.
On top of that, I have to reinforce, though, because he is a physicist, he does use the X and the Y axis.
Yeah. He's got it going on.
Yeah, right.
You want to carry the what?
So, I totally understand that although they're using it in the schools and everything like that, there may be scenarios where you don't use it, but there also are amazing situations where it is used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's using it to pay for his coffee, you know, like he's taking that extra step. He's a genius.
Maybe. Well, actually, he's working on an invention at the moment, so no, not so much.
Don't give it away.
Oh.
Don't give it away.
Oh, all right. Jenny. It's all happening.
He's also been an astrophysicist.
Oh, awesome.
Stop it.
Never tell anyone your inventions.
He's done calculations with astronomy as well, so, you know, it's all been used and all been applied. All
right, okay, Jim, well, so basically anyone who's having trouble with maths homework, get in touch with Jenny's husband because he's got it sorted.
He's sorting that, or just persist, and if things are giving you dramas, there are lots of tutorages online. So maybe there might be YouTube that might be able to help you.
Well, that's a good idea. That's
always
a
go back to the teacher, see if they can help you.
Or thanks, just push your kids into sport. Push them into sport and turn them into Nick Nat. You don't need to worry about it.
I totally understand that, but what happens if your kids aren't gifted in sport?
Yeah, that's right. Or they despise it. Yeah, that's understandable.
Thanks, Jenny.
There's Jenny who's married to Elon Musk. Yeah. Very good. I love that. The Big Breakfast with
Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Clarzy, you were just talking about this, that Qantas are about to open, I think today, the upgraded Terminal 3, which is the new terminal in preparation for these non-stop flights to London.
Yeah, true.
Which, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know that I think it was 17 hours on an aircraft is a long time.
It's a stretch, isn't it?
But I do like the idea of not having to get off, you know, recheck in Singapore or Dubai or wherever you might
be. Abu Dhabi or,
just get on the plane and get there.
And, you know, other people like international tourists and international business people and visitors, they remember this stuff. Like I've gone to airports and I remember which airports you think that's an annoying system because you have to get off the plane, get on another bus, go to another airport. And so people will remember Perth as going, that's a really easy, streamlined, efficient area to get people between immigration and customs so that they can, you know, get quicker trips between flights.
There's no doubt about it. It'll be in Lonely Planet. It's a must-see Perth Terminal 3. It's an absolute must-see.
Do forget the bad
Bell Tower, Rottnest, Terminal 3.
So Terminal 3 has got some amazing things. The international wing featuring streamlined immigration and customs area. So a bigger, nicer area for people to look very suspiciously at you, your bag, and to bring the sniffer dog out.
No, Nothing wrong with that. It's just one bloke going, go on, you'll be all right.
And a transit lounge which features an outdoor barbecue area.
Oh, that's nice.
Got to have a beer garden.
Yeah. And they've also got a wellness area and 12 showers. I like the idea of that. Sometimes when you're in an airport, you just need a nice space to relax and a wellness area. To me, that sounds like it's got trees in it.
I thought a wellness area was a beer garden.
Oh.
Well, they probably both are, but you need a shower sometimes if you can, you know, get one so you're not so stinky on a flight.
Well, yes, and of course, 17 hours on an aircraft. Mm. And there is also out today a list of some of the things that people don't like on planes. And personal hygiene, of course, is a top one, and I think we can all understand that. Mm. But there's some pretty funny ones, ones you would expect, out of control children.
Yep, of course. Standard.
But the one that I really like is the dude that, it's usually a dude, that exercises in the aisle.
I'm out. See ya.
Is that you?
It's me. I'm really sorry, but I have to. I'm very tall. Sorry.
Why are people offended by other people exercising in the aisle?
I'm not offended by it at all, but I do laugh when you see people doing their little sort of ballet touch toes and
I'm doing it now.
But it's on the list. It's on the list as people's bugbears for other passengers.
Look, I'm really sorry, but I'm tall and it's a flight,
I get it, buddy. I get it.
And I can only afford economy.
I think power to you if you want to get up and stretch in the aisle. I mean, it's the people who recline the seat that really put you off.
But hang on.
Or the armrest rules.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the armrest, I can agree with you, but I'm on a seat for 17 hours that reclines. I'm going to recline it.
Yeah, I put my seat up for meal time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's different, because you're affecting the tray behind
you. And I don't necessarily recline the whole way. Sometimes I just need a little bit to make my back feel a bit better, so I don't do the whole
thing. But if we got on a flight and you were behind me, and from the second that the seatbelt sign went off, I reclined my chair, but I put it back up for meals, but then straight back down
that's
again,
okay.
Would you annoy it with that?
No,
annoy
that's
you?
Okay, but I think it's polite to at least look behind
have
you before
check.
You jam someone in the kneecaps, because people just slam it back.
Yeah, you want
your knees.
It to be
they
a slow
bother
room.
To look.
Yeah, I agree
and
with
you
that.
Say it in that way that is you're not actually asking a question, you're making a statement. It's like, I'm going to recline.
Well, no, you don't have to say anything. Just check. Just be, as in, look.
Well, just
not...
in case they've got a Coke or a beer sitting there.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, do you need to spend more time at the wellness lounge?
Yeah, taking common courtesy onto a plane, I mean, it's unheard of, isn't it? But this is the thing I realise I do. Mm. On the list in 10th place for the most annoying passenger from hell.
Yep.
The window hogger who pulls at the window shade. Now, I always get the window seat. I thought I was doing everyone a favour by closing the window shade. No.
Not necessarily.
I thought that way you don't get any reflection on your screen when you're watching TV. You don't get the bright sunlight coming through if you're trying to have a nap. I thought I was doing everyone a favour. People who keep it open, you've got a reading light for that.
There are certain times they have to be open and closed, though, don't they?
Yes.
There's certain regulations that they're
staffed. Take off and
landing.
Not all of us exist in your albino world. We like light.
Hey, Matt, can you swing your seat back?
Yeah.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Dodging Tony Abbott and proving power with the president. Our wonderful leader, Big Mal, joins us this morning. Big Mal, welcome.
Good morning to you, Clancy. Hello to you, young Matthew, and of course you, Kimber, and everybody on 94.5 Mix FM in Perth. Did you see me at Port Kembla yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Saying to people, what lovely steel. You make good steel.
Yeah.
Good steel to be exported overseas.
You didn't say aluminum.
Well, big...
And aluminum.
Aluminum.
Aluminium.
It comes from the Borg side.
I love a bit of bauxite. I love raw product manufactured into primary resource.
Yeah. Well, Big Mel, I mean, we need to hear it from a trusted source. Is it true that Greg Norman, the great white shark, has convinced Donald Trump not to impose tariffs on our steel and aluminium?
Well, absolutely it is. And I've orchestrated that with my good friend Greg, the great white shark. He's a great friend of Donald Trump and the US. And let me hasten to add, Kimber, he's not actually a shark. He's just a man with a terrifically annoying accent. Because of Greg's success, we are now thinking of using former sports stars in other diplomatic roles and on missions. Merv Hughes will lead a tourism delegation to Turkey because they love the big moustache over there. Ian Thorpe is off to Athens, please don't presume, because they love gods and Adonises. And Dawn Fraser will be sent to Syria to negotiate peace because they too love massive moustaches. No, of course, even Bashar al-Assad would soil himself if he was confronted with Big Dawn just pounding on the doors at Damascus there. I mean, she's a fearsome sat.
Now, sir, if there's one word you enjoy saying more than Sangiovese, it's your mate Christopher Pine.
And I do enjoy saying Christopher Pine.
You do. And he's celebrating 25 years in Parliament. You're going to throw him a party?
Well, I'm thinking about throwing him a party, but he's a great party organiser, Christopher. An organiser for our party, because the Liberal Party is party first, Liberal second, and he's a fixer and a maker. In fact, he's right here. He's just got off the rail.
Oh, is he? Oh, terrific.
In sweat. Christopher, come on.
Christopher Pine.
Hello, it's Christopher Pine. I want to fix him now and make him, Malcolm. I'm the Defence Industries Minister. Oh, I love the submarines. Anyway, I am throwing a party. It's just going to be terrific. Fairy bread, little boys. I mean, you know, Savoy's, Fanta. There's going to be party poppers and blowers and hats. And I'm going to have a big pinata made like Parliament House and just whack it, whack it, whack it, whack it until the stuff just comes out everywhere for everyone. Okay, Christopher, good on you. He's worked himself into a bit of a laugh.
That was a treat to have.
A frenzy.
Mr. Pine off the Pine.
He gets into a frenzy when you talk about pinatas.
Yes.
Christopher Pine just throths.
Speaking of smashing things, Big Mal, finally you're on 7:30 last night with Lee Sales. You love going toe-to-toe, don't you? How do you think you went?
Oh, don't start me, Clancy. That woman. I mean, if I'm asked about that 30th news poll one more time, I'm going to knock somebody out. I mean, I haven't got the upper body strength to do that, but you can stick your news polls where the sun don't shine, Lee. At least it wasn't a complete waste of time. I did get to say ensure, reassure, negotiate, reiterate, and party room.
All the favourites. So, yep.
I even got to say Pacific Rim, which always makes me giggle.
And were you singing by the end of the show, Big Mal?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Well, you're singing by the end of the 7:30 report.
By the end of the show, I was saying, now Lee, Lee, now Lee, 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 Lee. And that's what I just keep repeating her name to buy some time. I have been singing this one to Lucy, though. Mm. Where is he?
Oh,
what do you got?
It's one by The Killers, The Man.
Right.
I got gas and tank. I got money in the bank. I got news for you, baby. You're looking at the man. I got skin in the game. I'm a household name. I got news for you, baby. You're looking at the man. She says, oh, shut up, Malcolm, and come to bed. Before I go, I just want to say that Mix 94.5 rocks Coogee.
Coogee! Great part of the world. Beautiful.
Isn't that some kind of Korean breakfast?
Thanks, Big Mel.
Wonderful to catch up, our beloved leader.
Thank you very much, and goodbye from Christopher too. Bye, everyone. Have a big summer. Good on you.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Hey. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Belinda missed.
Okay, this is one of those a bit too much information. I don't like wearing anything when I sleep.
Okay. Right?
I like to sleep as nature intended it.
Okay.
But it seems like I'm missing out because a study from a university in Denmark has said, now it is cold in Denmark, let's you know, just say that. But wearing socks in bed can boost your sex life and help you sleep better.
Oh, really?
Now, I can't stand having socks.
Oh,
on.
Really? No. I have to wear socks in winter. I'm the coldest blooded person alive.
Well, it seems that you're more likely to have excellent orgasms.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Right.
Worth it. It's worth the socks.
Put a sock on it.
You'll get to sleep quicker. Put a sock on it. And the reason that they say it's sort of counterintuitive that actually it regulates the body's heat.
Okay.
Yeah.
That by having the socks on, the rest of the body sort of compensates and vasodilates.
Ooh, nice wording.
So that's the you know, vascular system opening up to release heat. And it creates a more constant temperature through the body.
Isn't that just the standard? It's like when you're cold, you put a beanie on because most of the temperature escapes from your head, your feet, and your hands.
You'll have
like,
to talk to the University
of
Denmark.
Are you probably right? Yeah.
Like, I can't sleep without putting socks on because it's too cold. And once I put socks on, I'll fall asleep straight away.
The idea of falling asleep, I get so hot at night, the idea of falling asleep with socks on makes me feel ill just thinking about it.
I'm like you, but apparently we're missing out.
Socks are sexy.
Are they? Well, apparently men's cold feet are not. So, yes.
And just a reminder, Matt, next time, can you put some pants on before you come to work? Thanks, man. Lots of people are now making a decision, a change in the toilet habit region because they're ditching toilet paper for something new. It's called a family cloth.
Oh.
What?
Like a hanky.
Users claim they're cheaper and more eco-friendly and people are basically getting into it, but it's not for everyone. Now, you think about disposable nappies as opposed to cloth nappies.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are going back to cloth as opposed to toilet paper.
Okay.
So a small square of cloth used exactly the same way as the roll, but except when you're done, they don't get flushed down the loo. They're going into a basket to be washed.
Okay.
Like pooey nappies.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Some people only use the cloths when they're going for a wee, but sometimes it ends up a number two situation.
Yes.
But for anyone who's ever used cloth nappies, it's very, very hard work. And yeah, it is better for the environment. Do you really want a basket full of wipes?
But it sounds nice and clean, doesn't it?
It does sound.
You know everyone's going to be leaving the bathroom properly clean.
But what about, because whenever I go to the toilet for a sit down, I always put a little bit of paper over the top of the water to avoid splashback.
Sure.
Can you still do that with the cloth net?
Well, I would imagine you can.
No, because you'd have to take the cloth back out.
That's right. I'm out. Moving on.
Can you do the cloth toilet paper combo?
Also, how much have we learned about Matt this morning?
Yeah,
goodness.
Way too much.
All right.
Too much splashback.
Scientists at the University of Toronto say that we're making ourselves miserable by trying to be content with life.
Right.
So apparently looking for happiness makes us too focused on how much time we have left to achieve it. And that paradoxically makes us feel unhappy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what they did is they put people in a group watching a really dull movie about building bridges and then told them that they need to try to make themselves happy or make a list of things that make them happy. And that gave them this idea that happiness was a goal and they had to achieve it by the end of the film.
Yes.
And that put a lot of pressure on them. And yet they had other people who watched a slapstick comedy who were already happy. And when they came out, they said, how much free time do you feel you have in your lives? And the people who were watching the dull movie and feeling like they had to find happiness felt more pressure and that time was running out.
Well, one of those great, like Freud or one of the great sort of psychotherapists basically said that anxiety, and I mean, I know a lot of people suffer terribly with anxiety, but he thought one of the causes of anxiety was simply way too much spare time.
Yeah, right.
To think about, oh my God, am I happy or not happy?
Yeah, well, it's just get out there and be happy and don't worry about the timing because they're saying also too that other people have different ideas of what happiness is. And achieving it might be unachievable for some people.
Was it? Billy Joel, he said, he's a bit different to Sigmund Freud. Billy Joel said, well, yeah, I'm happy, but you can't be happy all the time. It's impossible to have pure happiness all the time.
Put on some socks and watch a funny slapstick film.
And for God's sake, put your pants on, would you?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.